Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Alice G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January 27th, 2022. This is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, Chapter 4, A Vision for You, and we are on page 162, paragraph 2, which starts with, "Someday we hope that." And today's readers are Linda B. with the 12 steps, Joanne L. with the 12 traditions. Readers of the text are Penny L. C., Rachel P., and Jody E. The reference number for Wednesday, January 26, 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 18,462. That's 18462. And for Thursday, January 27th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,469. That's 18469. Overeaters Anonymous Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Linda B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Linda. Star 1 to unmute.
Thank you, Alice. Good morning, and thank you for your service. Good morning, fellows. My name is Linda B. I'm from Ontario, Canada, and I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Linda. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Alice. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, world, because we are the world on this line. We have somebody from Honolulu, Hawaii, so aloha. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to do service this month, and I want to thank Leah too, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 162, second paragraph, in the chapter A Vision for You, and I will now ask Penny L.C. to begin reading, please.
Good morning, Alice, and thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Someday we hope that every alcoholic who journeys will find a fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous at his destination. To some extent, this is already true. Some of us are salesmen and go about little clusters of twos and threes and fives of us have sprung up in other communities through contact with our two larger centers. Those of us who travel drop in as often as we can. This practice enables us to lend a hand, at the same time avoiding certain alluring distractions of the road, about which any traveling man can inform you. And there is an asterisk there, and it refers to the note at the bottom, which says this was written in 1939. And then it says in 2011, this is from the fourth edition, there are over 107,976 groups. There is an AA activity in over 180 countries and with an estimated membership of over 2 million. And that was only in 2011. So just the amazing fact of how the fellowship has grown for AA as it has for OA. And my thoughts on this paragraph took me in this direction. What I heard was that we hope that every newcomer and returning fellow that is here will find a spiritual solution to their dilemma that has brought them to this destination of a vision for you. Perhaps it is already true once each of you dialed in this morning and decided to hear the message of recovery spoken here. This group of over 60 compulsive eaters has come together on this meeting to share their experiences, to pass along their strength, and to offer their hope to others. The power, that's power with a capital P, can be heard here as we listen with an open mind and a humble heart. As each of us receives this blessing of recovery and this serenity, we are able to be changed. And then, as each of us finds a new way of living, we are able to pass it on. And yes, it absolutely helps keep us from any distractions of our old way of being, which is to, of course, turn to the food. I'm very, very grateful that this program is here for me and that this solution has worked for me and that each of you are there to support me. What a gift, and what a blessing. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. We will now proceed with sharing until about 10:50. And remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will now take a list of names. If you can speak clearly and one at a time, that would be great. Thank you. Star one to unmute.
Kim O.
Donna B.
Danielle W. No,
Wendy
H.
B.
Hannah B.
Was it Kelly? Hold it. Was it Kelly H? After Danielle B.
It was Wendy B in there.
Wendy B?
Yeah.
Thank you. And I thought I heard an Anna.
Hannah B.
Hannah B. Thank you.
Jody E.
Jody E. All right. I think we'll stop there and then we'll pick up again. So this is my lineup. Kim O, Donna B, Danielle B, Wendy B, Hannah B, and Jody E. And please correct me when you share if I'm wrong, and please also give us the state you're from. And we'll start with Kim O. Star one to unmute, please, Kim, and share with us.
Hi, this is Kim. Kim O from Alabama, recovered compulsive overeater. I just wanted to, I had a vision as this was being read, talking about little clusters of twos and threes and those that have sprung up in other communities through the different contact and what has happened for me. I picture this huge connection of all of you on the line, you know, not knowing where you are, where you're from, but I hear so many every different time and coming in not knowing about a solution or if it was possible for me. I knew there was a way, but getting direction from a sponsor of, you know, recommendations of how to reach out to these different people. And through that, in the last 2-3 months, it has been extremely amazing to see how there is this cluster of people that are a support for me that has kind of been woven by my higher power, by God. And I just can relate as far as those who travel drop in as often as we can. I travel for my job, and I make this a priority. It has to come first for my sobriety. And there is a network of people, and this program will continue to grow in that way, just as I reach out to newcomers, as I still feel like a newcomer myself. And it just continues to grow. I will say that I was abstaining from my alcoholic foods, and because of this community of people, I was able to say to ones that I felt vulnerable and accountable with, I relapsed. I ate something that was for me sending me back in a spiral, and having this fellowship, no matter where, no matter what time zone, no matter what time of night, there's a support of people, and I'm one of them, going about my day and thinking about it, whether I'm at work or at home, and whoever I'm connecting with may be another person that I can be of service to. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kim O from Alabama. Donna B., please share with us where you're from.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. My name is spelled D-A-N-A, but it's pronounced Donna. And I used to travel geographically for work and also for, pleasure, vacation. And I would physically drop into meetings literally all over the world. But when I read this paragraph today, in a time in which I travel significantly less and no longer travel for work, I think about the metaphor of traveling through life. Traveling through the trials and tribulations, as well as the celebrations that accompany just going through the years of life. And I've been in the rooms for over 20 years, and I've seen with my own eyes people go through things that I thought maybe I would never go through, that I thought would be too hard for me to go through, that I thought I'd never be able to live through myself. But time is a teacher, and traveling through life affords so many opportunities. I am a woman who had miscarriages. I'm a woman who had difficulty conceiving and went through fertility treatment. I'm a woman who had babies, and now I'm a woman who has teenagers. I'm a woman who's experienced ailing and sick parents. I'm a woman who's married. I'm a woman who works. And so I'm traveling. I'm traveling through life, and I'm not traveling alone, thank God. I can call into the experience of my fellows who traveled the journey before me. And I also make myself available for others to benefit from the traveling that I've been through and the experience that I've learned as a result of that. I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to witness the lives of others and to be so intimately a part, intertwined with the lives of so many people. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado, and that's spelled D-A-N-A, but still pronounced Donna. Danielle B., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. this is actually Danielle W.
And I'm sorry.
That's okay. From Southern California, recovered one day at a time. This resonated with me this morning. I have a unique job, and have for many, many, many years, where I can get called to relocate within a 2-week period and move for anywhere from 3 to 8 months. So it's it's not a life for everybody. There's a lot of excitement in the newness of it and the opportunity to experience new places and new people. But it's unsettling in that all of a sudden I can find myself having to set up a new home and make new friends and, make sure my food plan is in place. And I'm just amazed at how this program has basically allowed me to have a foundation, even if I'm not anchored in the same place, that I can go anywhere on a moment's notice and I suddenly have a built-in community of people that I can feel a part of. I don't have to feel alone. I can walk into a new city and find a way to be of service. I have the foundation of the opportunity to go into a meeting almost any time, which is so extraordinary that they're easily accessible. They're easy to find. The door is always open. And with such a transient life that I live, I just can't even imagine not having the beauty of this program to really, like I said, give me a foundation on which to live. And I remember early in my recovery when a sponsor said, from this day forward, you're never alone. And that is just powerful. You know, I'm never alone. I can always find a meeting and be with my people. And with that, the path. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Danielle W. from Southern California. Wendy B., please press star 1 to unmute and share with us where you're from.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, in reading this, it's like, my program, looks so different, than it did back in those days. I no longer go to face-to-face meetings. The meetings I attend are just on the phone. And technology plays such a big part today, and I'm not limited to just one meeting a week, since I don't have to drive anywhere. I get to sit in the comfort of my home, or listen while I'm driving. And I can listen to recorded meetings during the day while I'm at work and my client's resting, and it is just so much more convenient. And I meet with my sponsees over the phone, and I've found it works just as well as when I used to do it face-to-face, only now I can do more of it since I don't have to include, driving time. And I recently took a fifth step from a sponsee in the UK, over the WhatsApp, video feature, and it worked amazing. We could see each other and establish more of a rapport, and and we're on opposite sides of the world. It's just so amazing, I really appreciate the texting tool. It's also helpful, in arranging schedules and call times, since we all have busy lives and things come up and we have to accommodate changes. And I'm just so grateful to be doing program in this day and age, and I can feel just so much more useful to others, even though I have a full work schedule and I'm not, limited to just my off work hours. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Hannah B., please press star 1 to unmute and share with us.
Hi, Hannah B., compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thank you for being here on this meeting. Everybody, I love this fellowship. I love it. I'm so grateful to be able to ground and connect further into fellowship with this meeting and with you guys. It is, one side of that triangle. It's so important. And there's such a fine balance you know, and diligence required, I just find daily to keep it all in balance and, you know, keep service at the forefront, keep, you know, honesty and just keep everything squeaky clean with everything, everything. And like this honesty is, and, you know, requirement, this essential for recovery and continued recovery. And for me, it's very black and white. There is no gray. Any gray leads me into disease. It just does. It's just a fact for me. I'm that addict. And, you know, talking about keeping an open mind and a humble heart, you know, and that's just so important to not make up our minds, you know. Well, we can make up our minds, I guess, to, you know, be committed and, you know, but anytime, I guess it's, if it's disease thinking, we have to be very careful. I have to be very careful to keep an open mind. And to be willing to stay humble. And there is sometimes pain in that humility, you know. But I'm so grateful that I have a sponsor that I can check in with, that I can be honest with, who I trust. And that I have these opportunities and reminders from you guys, and, you know, this fellowship to continue to stay in action and opportunities to be of service, because that is, at the end of the day, the thing that will lift me out of and above my own self-obsession and my own disease that ultimately wants to go that way. It just wants to digress into self-centered thinking, self-centeredness. And there's no freedom in that, and there's only pain in that. So,
that's time, please.
That's all I got. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hannah B. from Tennessee. Jody E., star one to unmute and share with us.
Thank you so much, Alice. Good morning, and good morning to everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So I'm just, this chapter brings up all the memories I have of traveling and either connecting with people in OA or not connecting with people in OA, and the consequences of either choice. I have traveled and visited people even in their homes, which has been wonderful. I have traveled and attended meetings. I've stayed in touch by phone. We have so many ways to stay connected today, the phone, the computer. There's really no substitute quite for the face-to-face, which we have been deprived of quite a bit lately. I had the privilege one time of traveling to Costa Rica to speak at a weekend workshop or recovery event, which was really a blessing. And I felt as I got on that plane and traveled there, though I had just been in a car accident a couple of days before, but I decided to go anyway. I felt like my higher power was taking me there. I felt lifted up. And after spending the weekend there, I also felt like I had done God's will. So any way that we can lend a hand, whether it's speaking or just setting up the chairs, it just has such a profound effect when we get together, we compulsive overeaters. Relate to each other, help each other. It is the cement that glues us and that ensures our recovery. We cannot do this alone. God knows we have tried, each and every one of us. And in our failure, we came here to help each other. And this is what is working for us, as this book just repeats over and over again. We have to help each other. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. I will now take another list of names. Press star one to unmute. And who would like to share?
Britt V.
Noel E.
Britt.
Mo H.
Leslie W.
Leslie. I heard somebody after Britt. Who was that?
Noel E.
Noel, thank you.
Mo H.
I've got you, Mo. I've got Leslie. Anybody? I'm sorry.
Hattie W.
Hattie?
Yes, Hattie.
Okay. Thank you, Hattie.
Lily M.
Lily. Okay. I think we'll stop there and see how we do. My lineup I have is Britt, Noel E., Mo H., Leslie W., Hattie, and Lily. And Britt, can you star one to unmute and share with us your last initial and where you're from, please?
Hi, my name is Britt V. I live in New Mexico. I am a compulsive overeater and bulimic in recovery. This reading was extremely helpful to me because I have been in ongoing talks with my sponsor. She's such a wonderful person. But I have a fear of inconveniencing other people. I know that I need my fellow OA people to help me along the path. And I reach out sometimes. I don't do it daily. And I now understand from listening to the reading, but also the shares, that that's getting in my way. I think within the last month, although I'm still abstinent, I've been white-knuckling it a bit, and it in part is the isolation, that I'm not reaching out to other people. And it just goes back to the reasons why I have these issues with food. It goes back to childhood trauma in my case. I live in fear of inconveniencing people. I don't want to bother any of you. I don't want to interrupt your day. I don't want you to feel bad. It's something that I have to get over. As my sponsor says, you can just share for 2 minutes. It doesn't have to be long, but I have to get over that. And in my case, I've been in other 12-step programs that were in person, and I was in OA many, many years ago, but A Vision for You is quite unique. It is the way I wish all OA meetings were, the focus on the big book, using it as a text, putting it in its proper place is the only thing that has really worked for me. So, thanks to all of you today. I will definitely redouble my efforts to not be shy and to reach out, because I find it really difficult, but I will do that. So, thank you all very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Britt Z from New Mexico. Noel E, star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Noel E. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Louisiana, and I want to thank everyone for their service on their line, on this line, particularly the person you just shared. Britt, that is called service, what you're doing, so thank you. This passage is so good. The word that's standing out to me in it is the word clusters of like two or three, because I came into program, I was in the rooms in 2019, but I really came into working program in the pandemic. And so I don't have a lot of experience with the in-person aspect of it, and I, I'm having a spiritual experience and a relationship with my higher power that I never imagined, and serenity, and it's just like, I say it all the time, there's never been a better time to be alive. Like, all that's available to us. And the cluster part of it is like, I have a small little home meeting in my town, but like my home group is this meeting, which is, not even Zoom, it's just our voices across this line carrying such a powerful message. And my other home group is a group of moms in recovery. And it's just like, I do not know what I would do without, because I'm not doing anything. Higher power, meant for this to happen at this time with all this capability, and I don't take it for granted. I'm someone who's had three C-sections, and so there's never been a better time to be alive, 50 years ago, it would have been very complicated. 100 years ago, I would have died. And I just am so grateful for this moment and the ability to connect with so many people and continue to be blown away by who God puts in my path. I was talking to a fellow this morning who happened to actually be a man, because my recovery is, a group of women mainly. And God just guided me to pick up the phone and say, find out about this person. And he reminded me of the part of the book on page 62 where it says, God is a principal and we are his agents. He is our father and we are his children. And I realized that guy and I were brother and sister. I have a brother in this program. And
time, please.
Yeah. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Noelle E. from Louisiana. Mo H., please share with us.
Yeah. Good morning, Alice, and thank you, everyone, giving service. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. The theme of this paragraph is about connection for me, and it's speaking to me really loudly today because I have been isolating for quite a while, dealing with another issue and wanting to come back. And the words that spoke to me was to lend a hand. And when I heard that read, I thought of Roseanne's prayer, which says, I put my hand in yours and together we can do what we could never do alone. And that prayer is very powerful about being a group, being a collective. And without you, I can't do this program alone. Tradition one says that our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. We need each other as much as I need help, with anything that's in my life. But this program is a miracle. The more I study it, the more I listen to it. Bill was a single person, and then he knew that if he drank that day in the hotel, that he would die. And so he went looking for another addict, another alcoholic, and picking up that phone, that's, right there. He used that tool of connection. And today there is absolutely no excuse to find a meeting, because one of the things the pandemic has helped us with is meetings online, and we can go to them anywhere all over the country or the world if we want and connect with others. So this is a very powerful paragraph telling us that we are a fellowship. We are a we. We're not an I. And so, my commitment is to make some more outreach calls today and not to be afraid. I With that, I pass.
Thank you, Mo H. from California. Leslie W., please share with us.
Hey, thanks, Alice, for your service this morning. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. And this paragraph brings up travel. It talks about the alluring distractions of the road. And I don't think there's anybody on this line that doesn't know what it's like to go on a vacation and, you know, try to adhere to their food plan when they are around other people, or even just abstaining from your binge foods and binge behaviors when you're around other people who you know, can do those things and do them with impunity, you know, without any kind of consequence for it. And so, you know, for a while, under the delusion that I couldn't have a good time unless I ate like they did, like they ate, like they were evil, like the people that I was traveling with, my family, my friends, whoever it was. Like, I just, under this delusion that I couldn't enjoy myself and I couldn't have a good time, or that I was seen as boring because I didn't eat spontaneously like they did. This is an insidious disease. Most people do not understand the severity of our disease, especially non-compulsive overeaters, because it's not a big deal to them. They don't see the harm in taking, you know, one slice of pizza or cake. It's not a, it's like, what's the big deal? And so, you know, there's a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding. And I made the mistake of trying to convince non-compulsive overeaters about my disease and trying to explain to them why I do what I do. And it, for me, it doesn't matter where I go, whether it's to Italy on a vacation with my husband, whether it's to Disney World on a vacation with my kids. It doesn't matter where I go. I do the same things. I weigh and measure my food everywhere I go, and I make my calls because I have to. I've had too many times where my disease will come through the back door and sneak up on me while I'm on vacation, thinking that everything's fine and that it won't hurt me to just have one.
Time, please.
And so that's all I wanted to share. And I'm thankful for this program and for all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leslie W. from Tennessee. Hattie, please star one and give us the first initial of your last name and where you're from.
Hi, everyone. This is Hattie W., and I'm from Rhode Island, and I'm grateful for this meeting this morning. I was struck by the paragraph and my expectations and my experiences all kind of colliding this morning. I don't get to this meeting very often, so my expectation was that I would not hear any familiar voices, even though there's many voices. I don't have the experience of their faces. I was reluctant to come in this morning because I was late in going to my earlier meetings, and I was feeling out of sync and just kind of confused, and I sat myself down to come to this meeting. I needed to dial in late because my husband needed to use the phone for an important short phone call. So I came in a few minutes late, and the first voice I heard was a familiar voice. And with it, as I listened, the name, and I knew it was somebody I not only knew from my earlier meetings, but it was somebody that I knew from my on-the-ground meetings when I used to go to on-the-ground meetings here in Rhode Island. And I was reminded also that when I moved to Rhode Island from Maryland, we weren't in a pandemic. I wasn't connected to this wonderful set of telephone meetings. And so I made the transition from ground meetings in Maryland to new meetings and new people in Rhode Island. And always community continues. And I've heard shares on the line and jotted down names that hopefully I'll be brave enough to reach out to after these this discussion. It's such a rich program. There's so much available to us, as others have mentioned. And there's so much opportunity for all of us to give back. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Hattie W. from Rhode Island. Lily M., star one to unmute and share with us where you're from. Lily M., star one to unmute.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for allowing me to, be of service this morning. I've only been in OA since January of last year. It's been a very, very rocky road because I allowed outside influences to affect my surrendering to this program, to my higher power. Anger and resentment ruled my life pretty much up until I was in my 50s. I'm 78 right now. But once I started to venture into Christianity and bring God into my life, I did begin to develop a better attitude about challenges of having been raised in a family that was driven by alcohol and addiction. But it really was not until I came into a 12-step program of OA where you really go into the big book and you study it, read it, study it, and read it, and practice it. You've got to use that action. Faith without works is dead. What I wanted to say that it's been a wonderful opportunity for me to also get rid of the fear of women. I never realized, having been raised in an environment of very few women that were in my life, that were so negative to me, that I would develop such a mistrust. But this program has really helped me in that area. It's hard for me to make outreach calls, but I do it because I want recovery. I want recovery. I want what all of you that are recovered have. I did recently go into a food program that's really helped me to face the alcoholic foods that were dominating my daily life. But I know there's no way I can do it without the help of my higher power. I have to come to him each morning, thank him for the day before, and ask for his
time,
help
please.
For that day. Thank you very much for letting me talk. Bye.
Thanks so much, Lily. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Rachel P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. Here. The book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.